Wait, stop. That's the one. Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others. No need to be politically correct. That's out the window with 2020. Here, we tell the raw, uncensored story, your story, and tell the truth as you see it. Make sure you live your fulfilled life without permission or apologies. So, if you have a juicy, interesting, raw, unapologetic story and inspiring, please make sure to contact me at zenten21@gmail.com. It is zenten21@gmail.com. Or you can find me on most social media platforms. You know it, the IG, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, OnlyFans. I mean, not really, but yes, OnlyFans. Just kidding. Not. As you may guessed it, my name is Zen, and welcome to the show. Today we have a guest, and our guest is Tiffany Perrigo. Tiffany grew up in a small town in Nevada, 30 minutes from St. George, Utah, and she faced some discrimination because she was not part of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints community. Later on in life, Tiffany married her husband, who was raised in the church. After seeing him being treated poorly by the LDS, she helped him in the process of removing his records through Quit Mormon. Quit Mormon helps those in the church who are struggling and not fitting in and with who has trauma of religion. Tiffany Perrigo will help us understand more about Quit Mormon and the help that she gets involved with the support group. So welcome to the show, Tiffany.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate your time and your story. Please tell us about a bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, so you nailed it on the intro, but I, about 6 months ago, sort of reached out and started talking with Mark at Quit Mormon about the support groups. There is such a need when you do leave the LDS faith, you're sort of lost, right? Your whole community is kind of gone in most cases, so I really wanted to make sure that there was a community for people that was also sort of based in a therapeutic-ish relationship, right? So all the people that work, or all the people that volunteer at Quit Mormon through these support groups are professionals in the mental health field, but we do support groups and we don't define them as therapy because just for some legal reasons, but all the people that run them are professionals, and so it's a support group and a community, but it's also informational, and it really helps people work through whatever is going on in their faith crisis after they've left or while they're leaving the LDS church.
Okay, that sounds like a great support group, and it's very important for people to, when they're leaving or even before they're thinking of leaving, to have support, because I was never Mormon, and I'm not Mormon, and I grew up Jehovah's Witness, which is very similar.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I actually started the group that you're in and that I started because of 2020, a lot of Mormons started hitting me up because they couldn't go door to door. So they were friending me on Facebook, right? And so I've talked to some of them, and when it came to, they see my posts about LGBT and they basically stop. And some of them I've noticed, I'm like, maybe you need some support, or maybe you could be gay. So I started the group in order to support those who are allies and those who are trying to come out as LGBTQ+, and those who are basically want to get out of the church, period. So that's why I started the group. And because I noted, because when I left Jehovah's Witnesses in 2002, almost 20 years now, I did not have a support, so I had to do everything on my own. And that was pre-Facebook, so.
Yeah, it's true. When you leave, so I was never LDS, I was never Mormon, never part of, like, Jehovah's Witness, like what you're saying is very similar to LDS, in that your community is really built into your religion. And it's great for some people, right? Like, I think that a really big misconception and some of the stuff that I've faced is people think that I, like, hate the Mormon church. And I really don't. I just think that some people, if they want to leave, need somewhere to go after, right? They need some support and some tools to be able to set healthy boundaries and to be able to cope with the grief of leaving their church and sometimes their family. Like, sometimes families, after a member leaves, the church will cut communication off, and it's really hard on people.
Yes, definitely. Which will lead me to ask you questions. So how was growing up in the Mormon community or around them?
Yeah, so it was rough. Utah is unique in that there is a very large LDS population. So living 30 minutes outside of Utah in a small town, you already have, like, the small town cliques, but most of the big names, I guess, in town were LDS. Every sporting event, every extracurricular activity was all headed by a member of the church or someone high up in the church. So, really, I didn't have a ton of friends just because there wasn't a lot of us that weren't LDS. And if you weren't LDS, I mean, I've had people tell me in my adult life that they weren't allowed to hang out with me because I wasn't LDS. And so it was hard to make friends. Imagine just, like, being in high school. It already sucks. And then you're trying to fit in somewhere where you can't fit in because you're not, LDS. So kind of sad. I did have some run-ins where people, would comment about what I was wearing, or, like, I was non-denominational Christian, so I just went to, like, a Christian church with no denomination. So I wore crosses, and I got sort of made fun of for that, and it was pretty rough.
Right, and this is one of the reasons that I feel, in a sense of the word, connected with Mormons. And I knew of more of the LDS church or Mormons, but I didn't know too much because just not. And then in 2020, when the missionaries were reaching out and we were talking, so I noticed a lot of similarities and I wanted to learn more. And so that's one of the reason I mean, this podcast is not the specific reason, but this podcast is about giving a voice to people who needs to say something, and they need to tell their truth and the raw deal, so if other people are listening, they can have the courage and be inspired to tell their story, and or even to hear it, and then they can do their own thing. And there is this, I don't remember, unfortunately, the name. There was recently, I saw in some of the Mormon groups, there was a speech about LGBT, and a lot of people were offended about that. Do you know anything about that? Or
yeah, I know some. So the person who gave it was Jeffrey Holland. He spoke at BYU, and like I said, I haven't really, like, researched enough about it, but I know that essentially the church's stance is that they don't LGBTQ+ community. And even though there are members of the church that are LGBTQ+, they don't, you know, they're not allowed to do certain things. They're not allowed to hold certain titles if they're out. And so the speech basically was just saying, you know, we need to support them, but to a point, right? So we can't support them so much that they think that we condone it, but we need, you know, it basically felt a little bit like an attack on the LGBTQ+ community in a way, because you're saying, you know, well, we love you, but we don't love everything about you. And I'm bisexual, so I struggle, and I've just recently sort of come out, so I struggle with my own sexuality, and with my husband's family being part of the LDS community. They are very supportive of what Jeffrey Holland has come out and said, and so it's been a little bit of a rough go around where I'm at right now, but I know a lot of people in and out of the church that are LGBTQ really struggled with that speech and what was sort of said.
Right, and I think eventually, I've been so busy, eventually, because I've been curious, and I've seen the comments in the groups, mm-hmm. but I have not seen the speech itself, so maybe it's recorded somewhere, and I would love to, possibly, depending on copyright, to put it in the inserts of the podcast so other people can see it. So, tell me specifically, if you have one, what is your involvement with Quit Mormon? Like, what do you have a title, or do you are promoter? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, so I have a self-proclaimed title. So Mark, he started Quit Mormon about 6.5 years ago by himself, just removing people's records from the church. And that's really all they've done, which is a great service. But I think that what I sort of brought was just the mental health support side of it. So I really just reached out to him and said, hey, like, I'm going to school to be a social worker. I'll be a social worker in a year. And I just want to make a community and have this mental health resource for people. So I tell people that I'm a community resource specialist, but I made that up. Really all I do is I found the therapists that speak. I coordinate the times, dates, and topics. And then I sort of make the Eventbrite links. I promote the groups. I'm there to facilitate the groups. So if people have additional questions or want more resources, I snag their email and I send them whatever they need. I also make our monthly newsletter. It just has all the events listed on there, and send it out to people, including the links for them to sign up. So really, I just sort of orchestrate and facilitate the groups and make sure that we have enough therapists to run the groups. And make sure that the therapists feel supported, because they're donating their time too. So none of us get paid. It's all volunteer. So they donate their time and expertise in the way of they create a PowerPoint, and then they spend an hour and a half with the group and talk through the topic, but plus whatever. If anybody has any questions or concerns, or they're dealing with something very specific in relation to their faith crisis, the therapist will then, you know, go and support them in whatever way they need.
Wow, that is a very important and beautiful addition you put into the group. And I think it will eventually blossom like anything that starts new. And I think, yeah, your involvement is very important, because mental health, especially coming out of a high control group, is very important. And so the question I wanted to ask with that, oh, before I go on that, congratulations on your career, to be a career too.
Thank you.
Definitely. What is removing records? I'm not familiar with that term.
Yeah, so in the LDS faith, you, at the beginning of your life, your parents, or really whenever people get converted over to, you get blessed in the church, which then gives you a name, right? So it's not your legal name, it's a biblical name that's given to you, and you carry that throughout your life, and that record of your name and your whatever title that you end up holding, whatever blessings that you end up getting that are, I don't know, important enough to put on this record, it's basically like a file that follows you throughout your life. So people, when they leave, they don't necessarily want to remove their records, or they don't really, you know, care that their records are there. But every time someone leaves, if they don't remove their records, they're still counted as a member. So when the church says, hey, we have X amount of members, that person is still counted as a member of the church. So to remove your records, it's, I mean, you can go to your bishop, which some people do and they feel comfortable doing. But the flip side of that is I've heard stories where people go to their bishop and say, hey, I'd like to remove my records. I no longer want to be a member. And then, you know, they get knocks on the door and people follow them, and missionaries are at their door every other day saying, hey, you know, do you want us to come in? Can we sort of talk to you? And so some people feel more comfortable just going through the website. You submit your information and Mark, who's an attorney, sends it up to whoever it needs to be sent to. And basically it's taking your records away from the church and taking all your information, and they supposedly take it and, you know, shred it, and you're no longer an official member of the church. So you're no longer counted in their head count when they're saying, you know, how many people they have, and your name's no longer there. And it's just like a really, for some people, I feel like symbolic way to really remove themselves and put that in the past.
Okay, that makes sense, because my question was going to be, why is it necessary? So like you said, I think from what you mentioned, it could be a symbolic, as you mentioned, because I've spoken to some Jehovah's Witness and they said they've written an official letter and they did all these things. As for me, I just left and never looked back. And but for them, they needed to be out, and that meant a lot for them. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, what you're saying is really true. Some people, it doesn't bother them, and some other people really want, I mean, even like my husband, when he left, he's been out for 10 years, and he's finally like, okay, I want to remove it. But some people don't, they don't need that, which is totally cool. Yeah.
So how did you meet your husband?
We got set up on a blind date. And really, I don't know if we would have met any other way. But his friend was dating my friend, and they got tired of not hanging out with us. So they set us up on a blind date, and that was five years ago.
It was fate. Awesome.
Yep.
So, which leads to another question. Can a Mormon marry a non-Mormon?
They can. And we've seen it. You know, some people in our groups have people that, they're mixed faith marriages. And I think it could work. I have it in our family too. We've got someone whose wife, she goes to church and the husband is not LDS. So I think that, like anything, you can make it work. It's just dependent on your communication level with your spouse. If it's something, and then, you know, when you have kids, it can get sort of messy, but there's no really, like, you just can't get sealed in the temple if you're married to someone who's not LDS, because they don't have the temple recommend, so they can't go into the temple. But married, I feel like complicates things a little bit.
Yeah, so so a Mormon church cannot marry that couple either?
Right, so you can't get married in the temple, or you can't get sealed in the temple, so you have to, like, either the person has to convert, or, you know, you can just do, like, a civil ceremony, like, get married somewhere else through just, like, a courthouse or someone who's ordained, but you can't get married in the church if you're not LDS.
Okay, so, with, just an assumption, based on being Jehovah's Witness, I would think that could lead that person in some trouble, because Jehovah's Witness, if you are a devout Jehovah's Witness and you do that, people will treat you differently because they'll think you're marrying outside the community.
Yeah, that's true of Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm not sure how true it is of, like, the LDS faith. I mean, I think in Utah, like I said, Utah's unique in that it's very saturated. So that might be like a social issue where people look at you a little differently, but there's really nothing in their religion, at least that I'm aware of, that, you know, forbids that or says it's bad. In fact, they might think it's great because then you could potentially convert your spouse.
Right.
probably a good thing.
That's true, and bring more children into the church.
Yep.
Right. Actually, when I was speaking to a lot of missionaries, and as I mentioned, when they've noticed I was part of the LGBTQ+ community, they essentially stopped talking to me. And when they talk to me again, their thing is, hey, when can I not convert you, but when can we do a study? When can we do a study? Mm-hmm. They're focused on that. And only one of them, which his identity is private for many reasons, we've been talking for almost a year, and he's been talking to me about normal stuff. And I've been respectful to about his faith, so I don't bring certain things up. And then when he asks specific, then I talk about the specifics. And he's non-judgmental, he's very chill. And at some point I said, and he said, we should hang out, we should have conversations. And I mentioned to him, are they okay with you having a non-Mormon friend? And he says, I don't think it should be a problem. And I said, well, because in Jehovah's Witness, I had non-Jehovah's Witness friends. Even in school, my quote-unquote friends thought me I was their friend. But to me, they were people I went to school with because I could not call them friends because they were not Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right.
So I mentioned that to him, and he said, my relationship is between me and God, and it's okay. So I'm like, okay, as long as you won't get into trouble.
Right.
But because I've noticed his other elders and his, I don't know if you call it colleagues, were not into having friendships, and I totally respect that, and I understand. So another question is, how and why did your husband leave the church? Or did he leave the, well, yeah, he removed his record. So why did he was compelled to leave the church?
I think a lot of it is just like, he, growing up, pretty much his whole life, knew that the church wasn't really for him. I think a lot of it comes down to just like living life to its fullest. And really not living in a way that's dependent on so many rules and such structure. He didn't understand why there were so many rules. And a lot of his life wasn't great. His mom and dad's relationship was sort of rocky. And I think that, and oftentimes in the LDS faith, if you're having problems at home, they stay at home. And then you sit in sacrament and everybody pretends like their life is perfect. Because, you know, that's just the social norm, right? There's no problems. We don't have any problems. Everything's fine. We don't talk about it.
Right.
But as a kid, he could see, you know, like, well, we do have problems, and why aren't we reaching out? And it doesn't make sense. So I think a lot of it was just situational and realizing that's not the life he really wanted to live. So when, you know, obviously he didn't want to go to seminary and he didn't want to do all those things, but he's the oldest of four. So he felt a lot of pressure to sort of be a good brother and to try his best because his dad wasn't the best, so he wanted to be a good example. So he stayed and went to seminary and did all the things until he was 18, and then sort of, well, he got married before him and I met. He got married right when he was 18 and sort of left and joined the Army and didn't ever go back to church, really. So I think that's why.
Okay, that makes total sense. I, when I was leaving as well, I've noticed with my parents a lot of hypocrisy. And when I got older, of course, I had more questions. And they said questions were for devil worshippers. And I was really hurt because I was very devout. And I said, I'm not a devil worshipper. I don't know anything outside of Jehovah's Witness, which forced me to actually do research into devil worship. Not devil worshiping, but what they called it, research and questions is for devil. And then when I known more, I said, oh, I didn't even say anything. I just stopped going one time and changed my phone number because they would call me when you were missing because I was very devoted. Like, they knew everything. And I just changed my phone number, and that was it, 18 years later.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, the Jehovah's Witnesses are intense. Do you still talk? Sorry, I mean to ask you questions.
No,
you still talk to your family? Do you still talk to them, or do they not talk to you anymore?
Actually, yeah, it's okay if you ask questions, definitely. So my family are funny. So the only person who reached out to me is my mother. Mm-hmm. And when she reaches out, I will do a podcast, like a long part about that specifically. But I'll give you the little short story.
Rundown.
Yeah, the rundown. So she reaches out, and I'm very respectful. And because I know the rules. So she would have conversations. So I said, I know the rules. You're not supposed to talk to me. So what is your purpose? And of course, it brings emotions into her. And she had said, I'm your mother, so I should talk to you. And I said, well, God said, because I know the rules, so I will tell her that. And she would say the same thing as that kid said. God knows my heart and is between me and you. But I've often gone to the rules. And I said, well, I'm spiritual, so my relationship is between God and not a religion. So therefore, I do not join any groups. But you're in a group that has rules. So if you break the rules, there are consequences, and I know of them. And so whenever she reaches out, she wants to preach me. And at some point, I've told her, hey, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm grateful. I also know these things. This is my stance on it, and I'm not interested. And she never respond based on that. It's kind of like if you ever had a relationship with someone or said, if you say, hey, can I have a peanut butter sandwich? And then they just ignore that. And then said, hey, so how was that music you listened to? It's kind of like, what? Are we talking about peanut butter sandwich or music? So they just flat out ignore it as if it didn't exist. And I cannot... My personality is, I do my best to be truthful and raw. I cannot live in hypocrisy and lies and all these things. And the relationship needs to be clear. And I set boundaries. So it was really hard. So to tell the raw truth, I block her.
Yeah.
Not because to her... Because one time she got a new number somehow, and she messaged me. She says, why do you hate me and all these things? And I respond. I said, I don't hate you. If anything, I just hate things. But even that, I don't really hate things because I don't want, you know, that emotion. And I do not hate people, period. And I said, I do not hate you. It's just I respect how you live in your life.
Right.
And when you ask me some questions and when I talk about them, your response is to preach me. And we cannot have that interaction. But my siblings, the oldest ones, I'm from a family of eight, and some of Jehovah's Witnesses devoted, and some are just have one foot in and one foot out, which I understand, but I do not understand at the same time, because my personality is, if you're gonna do something, you do it.
Right.
And yeah, and some are totally out of the church like me and living their best life. And unfortunately, which is weird, I've reached out to the ones who are 100% out and the ones who are 50-50. And there is not a relationship in my family, sadly. And I think part of it is because the Jehovah's Witnesses ruin things when it comes to relationship, because they teach you to shun each other.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. So the only person I reach out is basically my mom. And I think because she's breaking the rules, because she's a mother, as she mentioned to me, she says, I'm your mother and you come out of my room and I cannot help it.
Right.
And I totally understand and I respect that. And I feel bad for her, but I mean, that's life and, you know.
Yeah. Yep. Boundaries are important.
Right. So another question I had was, would you join your husband in the church if he wanted to stay?
That's a great question. I know he would never want to stay, but if he did and didn't have hand tattoos and a neck tattoo, I would not, personally. We have a daughter, and I've heard too many stories, and I've seen too many things about, you know, the way that, A, are treated and the norms that are created in that society to say, you know, this is what you do as a woman, and you don't have as much power from God because you're a woman. I'm spiritual, and I really don't think that that's true, right? Like, I don't feel like I have any less power because I'm a woman.
Right.
And I have a daughter, and I don't want her sitting in on, you know, when she's 13 years old with a bishop asking her, hey, have you touched yourself? Like, I really feel like that's inappropriate. And so right. if he did want to stay, I would support him, but it would be very much him doing it all by himself, and me and any other children that we have sort of not going or being there for any of that.
Right. Makes a lot of sense. So what is your relationship with your in-laws then?
It's interesting. So once I started Quit Mormon, I think things got a little rockier than they had been in the past. I think a lot of it is hard. It's hard when you have a religion that you are so passionate about and you hear someone who's had negative effects because of it. So it's hard to sort of take that in and believe that a religion that you're so, you know, confident about could treat someone the way that I've been treated. So since we've been together, that's something that they've sort of struggled to understand. And then when Quit Mormon happened, I sort of think things got a little bit rockier just because their perception is that I hate the church and that I am here to destroy the LDS, single-handedly destroy the LDS religion, but I'm not really. I'm here just to create a support group for people. So not the best that it could be, honestly. And, you know, we don't get included on, you know, they have family home evenings and different religious things that they do together, which is totally great. And we wouldn't necessarily want to be involved in them anyways, but that just by default means that we aren't as involved as they are because we don't have a common denominator between us, right? So it's a little bit harder to create a super tight bond or a super tight connection. And just knowing that the idea is we're not in the, so we'll never be as happy as we could be or as successful as we could be. And all the mistakes or all the, you know, strife that we've faced is because we're not a part of the church. I think all those things really make it hard for me to sort of have a relationship with them and also to be included as much as I'd like to. So it's a little bit rocky, but I mean, I feel like it gets better as I get more confident with sort of where I stand with everything.
Right. Which would lead me to ask, does Quit Mormon seek out and solicitate or not?
No. So I think that that's like the name Quit Mormon is a little bit in your face, right? I've heard that from my best friend is actually LDS. And so I've had her help me sort of, hey, what does this sound like? What do you think? And the name's a little bit interesting, but there's nothing about us that goes out and says, hey, you know, you're LDS. We're not knocking on people's doors saying, hey, let me show you why what you believe is wrong. Because at the end of the day, if that's what somebody wants to do and that's what they feel works for them, I think that that's what they should do.
Right.
Quit Mormon is really a place where you've said, hey, there are some things that I don't agree with about the church. I don't want to be a part of the church anymore. But now I don't know where to go, and now my family's not talking to me, and now, you know, I got a tattoo, and my grandma keeps calling me the devil. So, like, how do I cope with these things? And that's really what Quit Mormon's about, is to come alongside someone and say, hey, I see that you're having a hard time with your faith transition. Let me see if I can help you build a community, build those, you know, boundary setting and grief and all those skills so that you can be more successful in the relationship with your family. Or, you know, in navigating how do you sort of cut those people out of your life. So
right.
We don't solicit, but we do make sure that people feel supported if they are trying to leave.
Definitely. That's so important. When you message me, I love that concept. And I hope more people find out about Quit Mormon. And if they want to be part of it for their support process, that would be great. And
yeah.
So, which leads to, what is your opinion about the Mormon church and how can they do better in those issues that you think they have?
Yeah, I think, like, I would love to, like, talk with someone, like, high up in the church, because I think always existed. And it's sort of changed and with the times and, you know, sort of shifted their beliefs. And I think that for the LDS church to continue to gain members, they are going to have to really look at what are the norms in society, right? Like, women are doing more than just staying home and raising children. So, like, how do we update our policies? There are a lot of people that are LGBTQ plus that are even in the church. So how do we sort of realize that we're shutting out all of these people and making them feel, you know, lesser than? I think that there needs to be some sort of realization of that and say, hey, you know, we are changing some of the things that we believe because they're outdated. There's been a lot of things like that in the LDS church that have changed, right? Race, things like that. Before, way back when, if you were a person of color, you couldn't hold the priesthood. That has changed. So I think things like that need to sort of update. And I also do think there's a lot of sexual misconduct that happens because, like I mentioned, there's men, grown men, behind closed doors with children. And unfortunately, oh, wow, not everybody in the world is great. It doesn't matter what religion you are.
Right.
There's still terrible people in every group in the world. Right. And so I think that really needs to be, like, two people need to be in the room at all times with children. So,
wow,
those are some of the things I would change.
I did not know that. That's interesting. And in my journey, I would love to speak to, I have many other people with different stories, and I would love to eventually speak to someone who's still in the church and tell me what's going on. But the ones that I've reached out to or who've seen my post and they like it, but they don't say anything, I've reached out to them. They don't respond. Maybe they have fear or anything. So we'll see. And so how can someone who's listening to this find Quit Mormon or find you or Mark?
Yeah, so the quitmormon.com website has everything. So when you click onto it, there's just like the resign page. There's also a little events page up in the right-hand corner. It has all of our events for the month. And then we're also pretty active on the ex-Mormon subreddit and Facebook groups, but really the Quit Mormon website's the best place to find all the information for everything Quit Mormon.
So it is quitmormon.com.
Yep.
Awesome. And maybe if you guys thought about it, I think a Facebook Quit Mormon Facebook group could also help, because a lot of people, I've noticed doing in my business ventures, people don't go to websites anymore, but if you have a Facebook, they'll click on the link to go to that website. So I've noticed. I could be wrong, but
yeah, I think they have a Facebook page, but they have not been active on it.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe see if I can check it out.
Right. All right. That's all the questions I have for you. And again, it's awesome that you joined Quit Mormon and you putting your new addition to it. And eventually, maybe it will grow into something so much more that can help hopefully thousands of people who are looking for the help. And congratulations on your career in doing social work. And that's part of psychology, right? Social work kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of. It's a little less brainy. So it's a little more feeling-y.
Right.
But thank you. I really appreciate being on. I appreciate you giving me the platform to be able to talk about this to get the word out to people.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, 2020 have done a lot of brain work and growth for me. And so I've said, you know what? I'm done sitting on a sideline. And
yeah,
I want to do something that's involved other people in helping them, because I have similar stories with different life stuff. So
yeah.
Thank you again, Tiffany Perrigo.
Yep. Right? You are so welcome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, until next time. And if you went, maybe in a year when you graduate, and if you have other ventures, feel free to reach out. And if you want to bring something new light, let me know.
Of course I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.